Please be seated. An age-old question. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? You've heard that riddle of life before, and I'll admit to you that I kept thinking of that question as I began to prepare a sermon for the July 4th weekend. If a preacher preaches a sermon and there's no one here to hear it, does it make a sound? It's because I really wondered whether anyone would be here this morning between the 4th of July weekend, lots of vacations, lots of traveling, and then the rain. I didn't know what to expect, and I'm really pleasantly surprised. And as I always like to say, I'm glad that so many of you who really love Jesus decided to be here this morning and make church a part of your 4th of July weekend. Now, of course, I always say all that kind of tongue-in-cheek. I was even on vacation this past week, and it's always a good thing to get away and to take a break. Every once in a while, you just got to do it. Take a break from our routines to rest and relax and to re-energize. But as I started planning today's sermon from today's lectionary texts, I began to wonder if the odds were stacked against me, because they're all the polar opposite of anything about holidays or relaxing or taking a break. Today's gospel lesson is about working and doing and going. Perhaps not the easiest message to hear on a day when most of us can't wait to get outside before it rains again or get the grill going. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now go and get to work. And that's not what some of us need to hear on a holiday weekend, because we've heard all these sermons before. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And every one of us knows what's coming next. It's a call to be more involved in church. A challenge, maybe, to be more committed to church. A prod, perhaps, to serve on another committee. A nudge to add one more activity to, for some of us, already overcrowded schedules. We know where all this is going because we've heard it before. Go, 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 go. It makes you tired just thinking about it, doesn't it? And by now, some of you may probably be wishing that you were among those who took this Sunday off. Because truthfully, who's got time to do more? Who's got time to do more than we're already doing? There's work, there's family, there's church, there's school, there's simply no more time in the week. We are all booked up. So you might be thinking that you can just tune this sermon out, if you haven't already. There's no need to listen to this anymore because you simply can't do it. There's no more time. When we feel like we do enough and just can't do another thing, there's a natural temptation for all of us to think that he's not really talking about me. This sermon's not about me. But it is about you. In fact, it's specifically about you, God's chosen few who chose to be here this morning. Because for the most part, you're the regulars. You're the ones who are always here. You're always active. You're always involved. And don't tell the others, but you're my favorites. Jesus says, go. The harvest is plentiful. The Great Commission says, go into all the world. And we preachers like that stuff. We like to preach about going. And while I'm not a Greek scholar, my studies have pointed out that in this particular context, we might have it a little bit wrong. That the Greek command is really not to go. The command is to make. Is to make disciples. A more literal translation is, while you are going, I command you to make disciples. That's pretty big stuff. It makes me wonder that if when it comes to discipleship, if maybe we work so hard, we're so fatigued, we feel like we can't do another thing because we're putting all our emphasis and all our energy on the wrong verb. We're so busy going that we seldom get to the part of making. You see the difference? I mean, who's not going somewhere this week? It doesn't matter where, anywhere. And as you're going, Jesus says, make disciples. And that's not as hard as we may try to make it. Simply invite someone to come to church with you one Sunday. Tell someone that you encounter what's important to you. The harvest is plentiful, and God is asking for our help, you and me. It reminds me of that wonderful text that's attributed to St. Teresa that we used this year's diocesan convention theme. Christ has no body now but ours, no hands, no feet on earth but ours. Ours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Ours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Ours are the hands with which he blesses the world. You see, I think maybe that's why the laborers are so scarce, because few of us ever come to truly understand and to live this truth. The harvest is all around us. And the divine labor to which Jesus calls us is more about attitude than it is about action. It's all about God at work in this world, not us. God at work through those who are willing to say, here I am, use me. And laboring in God's field is not about spending more time doing church work or charitable service or serving on a committee. Of course, those things are important. But when we understand our mission in the field is one by which the presence of the risen Christ is made real to those around us, we'll recognize the plentiful harvest, and we can understand perhaps better than ever before the joy, not the weariness, of being a disciple. When I was a child, I spent most 4th of July's at my grandmother's house in eastern Kentucky. And each night when we were there, we'd have dinner down the street at my aunt's house. And my aunt and uncle had a good bit of land. And while I certainly wouldn't call their garden a farm, it was certainly more than a hobby. And I remember many times asking what we'd be having for dinner that night. And many times my aunt saying, I don't know, I haven't been to the garden yet. And sometime during the day, I would follow my aunt out to the garden, and our dinner would include whatever she felt was the freshest and most ripe of her fruit and vegetables that day. Some things were so ripe, it's almost like you could look at them and they just fall off into the bucket. I really do believe that's the harvest that Jesus is talking about. Not a labor that is more than we can do, but a harvest that is plentiful and ripe and ready all around us in every encounter we have. Precious souls longing deeply to know the love of God that you already hold in your hearts. It's not about discipleship being reflected in how busy we are, but a means by which the world sees something different in us, something that intrigues them, calls them to want to know more, maybe want to understand better. Because in us, they see a face they don't recognize in the world around them. It is the face of peace and joy and commitment. It is the face of God. And that's what it means to be a disciple. A discipleship that has and still can change this world. Not in what we're so busy doing, but in who we are so busy being. The hands and the feet and the eyes and the heart of the risen Christ. God love you. Amen.